be the one who makes the decisions about the success.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. This is going to be a remedial show. I've been requested to do this show by several people. And for this show, I thought no other person could do it with me but Dr. Matt Andre. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing great, Carl. How are you, my
good,
friend?
Good. We're doing a show on blood work because I get emails all the time from people saying, why don't you do a show on the basic, like what should I be asking my doctor for when it comes to blood work? And really, this is really a very critical discussion because this is a jumping off point for most people. In the journey to health and longevity. If you don't know what to look for, then you don't know your doctor is missing looking for something, and you can't help guide your doctor to do a better job.
Well, that's right, and I think this is both appropriate and timely. I was blessed to have a conversation just a couple weeks ago with Congressman Larry Bouchon. He's our 8th District U.S. Congressman here in Indiana. And we were talking about how, you know, the way that healthcare has gone and healthcare management is, people have to be much better consumers. And one of the unintended sort of benefits of when people have bigger deductibles and so forth is they have to be better consumers. They have to get the information. And one of the things that makes them do is have to have the basic information themselves so that they know what to get from their doctor. And this is exactly one of those type of topics that I think it's perfect that people, you know, have a go armed with a little more information so they can ask for what to get instead of just taking what's thrown at them.
Well, and there's something else that we need to discuss up front. So the information that you're going to learn today, if you have a discussion with your doctor and he poo-poos it, discounts it, tells you, I'm the doctor, I'll order the tests, from a physician standpoint, I'm not asking you to be a chicken hawk here, okay? But from a physician standpoint, if I go to my doctor and say, hey, I don't just want a TSH. I want total and free T3, T4. I want reverse T3. I want TPO. And he looks at me and goes, look, I'm the doctor. I'll order the test. You just stay out of it. How should I take that?
Yeah, that's a great question. One book I want to recommend to your listeners real quick. It's a book called How Doctors Think. It's written by one of the heads of medical school out at Harvard. And he does a great job of sort of going through the doctor mindset, at least when they're trying to think right. But when you get that response from a doctor, let's back up a sec. You know, let's say you suggest something to your doctor, and your doctor either doesn't do that typically or isn't sure how to do it. You're typically going to get one of two things is going to happen in them. They're either going to have a response that is one of curiosity, like, wow, I could learn something here, or they're going to have one of defensiveness. You just brought up something that they don't know how to use, don't know what to make of that result. And they should just be able to say that, but they're humans too.
Right.
And the kind of interactions we tend to set up with our physicians these days, or at least has been historically, is one of almost a paternal interaction where, you know, you come to me, I tell you exactly what you're going to do, and you go away and do it. Well, that paradigm, thankfully, is changing. And we're viewing this more as a partnership. And, you know, I'm a source of information, I'd be a good listener, and I've got some access to tools. But I don't live with the consequences. Patients do.
Right.
So, you know, what you want, if I have that response from a physician, what I want to know is, okay, well, is it because you're not sure how to interpret it? Well, just say so. You know, if you don't use this test, that's great. If it's because you think it's a bad idea, well, tell me that. Give me more details. So if I just get that information and nothing else, this is going to be someone, in all honesty, that for me, I'm going to be kind of limited in what I can get from it. Because if I bring something up, you know, if patients, this happens to me all the time. I mean, gosh, people are better, so much better educated, partially because of shows like yours. You know, they come in with a lot more background. And I learn things every day. from my patients about
Do you think the doctors think that it's a sign of weakness because they're expected to know everything?
Absolutely. They feel the culture around most clinician offices is one where, you know, you have to be defensive and protective. You have to protect against malpractice. You have to protect against your, you know, loss of your reputation. You have to protect your perception as being an authority. And if something comes up that challenges that, then you naturally, unconsciously get defensive. What I'd always try to do when I talk to physicians is basically tell them, abandon all that junk.
Right.
You know, your value is not in the fact that you know more than that patient. It's in that you're basically being paid to sit there, give a darn, and listen. And you're supposed to be a learning and changing entity as well. And then that tends to be create the space that does the healing. It's not your delivery of a regimen to that person. So it's really a personality thing. And what I have experienced is that in the last 5 years especially, I've seen more and more physicians who have a more open and softer and a greater receptivity to new ideas.
Yeah.
And that's really great. But if you've got someone who's a hardliner, you know, in all honesty, if I've got a standard brain tumor and I've got to get it cut out, someone with a lot of experience knows what the heck they're doing and a lot of confidence is really great. When I'm talking about new ways of treatment and trying to optimize my health, you know, the hardline doesn't always cut it.
It's a good point. Very, very good point. Okay, so usually people show up at the doctor with symptoms, but there's a growing number of people who are saying, you know, I think I want some blood work just to see where I am at this point in my life. Maybe they are asymptomatic.
Yeah.
I would imagine the blood work you'd order with or without symptoms would be the same thing, or am I wrong?
Well, that's a great question and a great place to start. And I think we should talk more about this, but maybe a little bit later. You know, we always think about labs pretty much as blood work, but there's a growing understanding of how, you know, every lab you do has its own limitations, whether it's an EKG or a CAT scan. Every study you do has limitations. A lab blood work. You know, the blood is just one tissue in the body that we can assay to see what's in it. And as you know, doing hormones, you know, a lot of people do salivary testing.
Right.
As of yet, with most standard physician practices, they're not going to know squat about saliva testing. Some will, and more do all the time. Urinary testing for hormone metabolites is a growing tool that clinicians are using. But you're right that blood work is the standard thing that most people think about. But you got to understand that blood doesn't necessarily tell you everything that's happening in the body. But yeah, a standard panel of blood work being done for people is certainly a part of our regimen here in the office. And you're right that you do it differently. We always tailor those tests to the person as best we can. I definitely have a panel that I'll get for most patients, but that will be different if they're coming in for screening and wellness and optimization versus if they've got a specific problem that they're coming in with, a specific question.
Okay, so let's start with so where should we start? Should we start with the person who is symptomatic or asymptomatic then?
I think, as you mentioned, let's start with the asymptomatic, because what happens is people come in and they think they're asymptomatic.
Right.
And then as a part of your evaluation and you're talking to them and you even talk with them, and we sit and we talk about what labs we're going to get with patients, and that brings up questions, and then there's invariably something. Maybe it's not even a symptom. Maybe it's, you know, my mother had this had a problem with insulin and hypoglycemia or diabetes. And then all of a sudden that takes someone from just a blank slate to someone that you're perking your ears up a little more about glucose metabolism issues. So that's the way we do it. But there are tests that we almost universally get on people. Somebody comes in and says, you know, I've been working on my health, but I've not seen a physician in, say, 3 or 5 years. And I just kind of want a standard panel to see where I'm at. We almost always will get what we call a CMP, a metabolic profile, complete metabolic profile. And that tests your electrolytes, that tests your kidney function by the BUN and creatinine, that tests your liver enzymes. Those incorrectly somewhat get called liver function tests. They're not liver function tests, they're really more liver structure tests. They tell you if you've had some hepatic cell death. And we always have some. We're always getting rid of some cells in the liver and making new cells. But if that rate is going too fast, if the liver is under high stress, then those numbers go up, and that's an indication you need to pay attention to what's going on in the liver. And then we also check the bicarb, which basically tells you a little bit about your acid-base balance. The blood sugar is checked there. So that's a really good panel. It's very cheap, and about anybody can go do, and doctor will be able to interpret those relatively well. So that's like the first thing that's like a no-brainer.
Okay.
The next thing that we're going to get is usually, as you've mentioned already, a complete blood count, a CBC. And that looks at your white blood cells, your red blood cells, and your platelets. Now, the red blood cells is reported usually two ways. The hemoglobin, which is, again, the iron-containing molecule that carries oxygen in your blood, and it's kind of spun down. And then the hematocrit, which basically tells you how much of your blood is liquid versus how much is cells. Why is that important? Because if you live at high altitude, you make more red blood cells. Your blood gets a little thicker. That's great. You can carry more oxygen that way. If you're on testosterone, it makes you make more red cells. And that's great because you can carry more oxygen to tissues as well. But there's a limit. If you overdo it, then the blood gets too thick. It doesn't flow well, and you're at far greater risk of having like clots.
And in fact, we talked about the importance of blood viscosity testing now, because
yes,
the higher the viscosity, the more damage it does to the heart, to the valves, and to the vasculature over time. So
yep,
there's a tipping point where viscosity is beneficial because of the ability to carry more oxygen, but then it becomes detrimental because the heart is having to pump wax through the
yep
veins instead of liquid.
Perfect analogy. And you're right that the viscosity testing is better because, you know, it includes other things other than just the cells, other than just the red blood cells. But by and large, that's going to be the biggest factor for a lot of people. And it's a good way to get an insight into how viscous your blood is. So those two are kind of no-brainers. Now, again, you'd mentioned in discussions we've had before on thyroid. If we're just doing a standard screening thyroid test, then usually a TSH is going to be sufficient for a percentage of those people to say, okay, we're making assumptions. All thing about labs in general is there are a lot of assumptions that go into it. We're assuming your pituitary is working right. We're assuming your hypothalamus is working right. But we're going to make that assumption because most people it is. Then we're going to use the TSH, which is what tells your which is what was released from the pituitary and tells your thyroid to make more T4, and which is your thyroid hormone. And if you're not making enough, then that number will go up. And if you're making too much, then that number will go down and basically become even, you know, really low and kind
but,
of
undetectable. But some recent research, and this is why research is so critical on the way we look at labs, some recent research indicates that just a high TSH, just a high TSH could be the culprit at causing you not to be able to lose body fat, because TSH causes an inflammatory response in fat cells that makes it
yes
virtually impossible for you to get rid of the fat inside them.
And you're exactly right. But I'm going to tell you, and your listeners kind of know this, and they may not like to hear it, but it'll also maybe be reassuring. If they take that information into 10 different internal medicine or family practice physicians, maybe one is going to know that.
Right, right, right.
And they're going to sit there with this information that's got a little bit more depth of insight than even their clinician. So you have to know how to interpret the information, and even you have to know how to interpret the interpretation that you get from the physician that you're seeing.
Right.
But that test is still helpful because there's a heck of a lot of people that are having problems and don't know it, and that's the nature of a screening test. The nature of a screening test is you're checking with a broad brush and looking for signs of problems that will cause you to hone in and check carefully. One of the problems with a TSH is that the range we use is way too wide to mean anything.
Yeah, right.
Something between 0.3 and 5.6. Well, that's 1.5 orders of magnitude.
Right, right.
You could have really different function depending where you are there. You know, if I've got someone who has, you know, anything where we want to make sure we're keeping thyroid really tightly controlled, then I don't want a TSH really to be over 3. And in certain cases, I don't want it to be over 2. But let's say it is, you know, 3.5, some mild suggestion of symptoms, then we're going to usually go and do more detailed testing. So if I've got someone who comes in as a screening test, but I'm really worried about my thyroid, my family's got thyroid problems everywhere, I've had some iodine issues, deficiencies, then usually in the screening, you can go ahead and request that you get more detailed thyroid testing, include a T4, usually a free T4, because it can be bound to carrier proteins, and then it's also free in serum. A free T3, a reverse T3 can be helpful sometimes. Thyroid antibodies, looking for the presence of antibodies against your thyroid gland, that maybe your thyroid levels themselves look good, but if you have these undulating symptoms that come and go that seem like your thyroid's up and down, the presence of those antibodies can give you that clue. Okay, and you've probably got like a Hashimoto's condition where you can get symptoms of low thyroid sometimes, symptoms of high, but your labs never really move enough for you to qualify for treatment.
Okay, we have to take a break. We want to stay with the thyroid just a little bit longer because I want to summarize something, and I really do think that even the broad stroke needs to include total and free T3, total and free T4 when we're looking at thyroid-stimulating hormones, simply because some of this new research that's coming out right now. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up. We're talking with Dr. Matt Andry. If you want to get in touch with Dr. Andry, his website is andrymedicalservices.com. Right, Matt? That's the right website.
That's
right?
It.
Okay.
That's it.
All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
Monsanto is kind of like the head of the serpent.
The battle cry against Monsanto is being broadcast.
But I've said that separating government from that industry is like trying to separate Siamese twins or conjoined twins who share a heart. You have to make a decision which is going to live and which is going to die. There's no easy way to separate.
You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore, weekdays at noon.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Only one testosterone booster, Mahler's Aggressive Strength, raises testicular cholesterol levels while increasing gonadotropin-releasing hormone. That, in turn, turbocharges how much testosterone you can make. In a clinical trial, this resulted in a 347% increase in testosterone, and it won't bottom out your estrogen levels either, so your libido will be in high gear. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aggressive Strength banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and get 10% off today.
The UK is known for its queen, Big Ben, and fish and chips. Well, move over. Here's the UK's strongest pro-hormone, Extreme Mass. Extreme Mass will give you a significant amount of muscle and strength, gains of up to 10 kilograms in a four-week cycle. You'll see an increase in libido, vascularity, and aggression. Shatter your personal bests in the gym while on Extreme Mass. Save 10% off. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Extreme Mass banner and use coupon code MASS10.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Matt Andrew. We're talking about blood work. So let's finish up on the thyroid now. What yeah. else should people look at? Matt?
Hello?
Oh, yeah. Good. What else should people look at?
Well, as you mentioned, and I wouldn't argue with you a bit, Carl, that the T4 and T3 can be really helpful just in terms of a screening test, because if they're really out of range, then, you know, the TSH takes weeks to change, and people can have issues with their thyroid that come and go on a shorter scale than that. So that's the reason that it can be important to look at it. I talk a minute about cholesterol. I mean, these again, are things that people think they know a lot about. A lot of patients are concerned about getting this because I think people in general, people that I run into, think, okay, the doctor's going to see that my cholesterol is a little high and they're just going to shove me on a medicine and then that's it. Well, and that can happen, but what you want is you want to have a discussion about, let's say your cholesterol comes back and usually when we check cholesterol, you're checking a total cholesterol, a triglyceride level, an HDL, the so-called good cholesterol, and an LDL, the so-called bad cholesterol. And if the LDL is above certain amount, based on your, heart risk factors otherwise, your age, your gender, family history of heart disease and so forth, then that doc's going to say, hey, we need to get this better. But as you and I both know, the place to start with that always is with lifestyle modification, which is what you should be doing anyway. But if those things have not gotten it down, then some specific therapy to get the cholesterol better is probably helpful, but it can be overdone. And then there's costs to whatever method somebody uses to get that cholesterol changed. But I know you all talk about that a lot on this show, too.
Well, sure. But my issue with thyroid hormone is this. And you and I have talked about this, and I know that you agree. I understand we're talking about where to start with blood work, but I almost feel like going to your physician and saying, I want a thyroid panel, a complete thyroid panel, and just starting with TSH is dangerous because you could have a TSH within range, and T4 may not even really elucidate what's going on if you just look at those two. Because as we're learning now, a good thyroid functions by producing very little TSH, but an economical and efficient amount of T4 and T3.
Mm-hmm.
So if your TSH is low, but your T4 is high, but your T3 is low, something is still wrong because that selenoenzyme cascade isn't converting enough T4 into active T3, and you still may be somewhat symptomatic, or maybe you don't even know you're symptomatic. Maybe you think that's the way you're supposed to feel.
Or maybe that's why your cholesterol's up.
Exactly. Or your testosterone is low. You know, people with hypothyroidism also present low testosterone. Testosterone is closely linked. In fact, people with hyperthyroidism tend to be hypergonadal. They tend to produce ridiculous amounts of testosterone.
Yes. And also estrogen's the same way. The higher your estrogen, the more of the thyroid binding protein that you make. And so the percentage of thyroid that's free and available to cells can go down. We see that all the time. Someone has low thyroid and then they go through menopause or they get on a hormone replacement and all of a sudden they can develop symptoms, particularly of having a low thyroid, even though their labs haven't changed. And it's often because of the way that estrogen has affected thyroid metabolism.
That's a really, really good point. So is it safe to say, look, if you're going to have thyroid panel done, to have TSH, total and free T4 and T3, reverse T3 and TPO, which is thyroid antibody, just to rule out the possibility that your body is starting to attack itself?
I think that's a very good and reasonable thing to ask for. Just know that you're going to have to do your own interpretation on top of what your physician does.
Another great point. I hate it when people say, I got my blood work done. My doctor said my thyroid is okay. And then I say, well, what are your numbers? I don't know. My doctor said I'm okay.
You would hate that, and I agree with you.
I mean, come on. It's like, okay, so have you heard the story about the entertainer who made millions of dollars, and he said, well, my accountant said everything was okay. I can't understand how I'm broke. Well, you better pay attention to the numbers, or somebody's going to make a mistake.
Right. That's right. And again, you're limited by how, you know, one, time usually, and then the physician's going to prioritize, you know, what's the most important thing to talk about. But that may not be what's most important to you. And getting different opinions and having your own about what these numbers mean is important. And I think as we go further, the more we're going to rely on our patients having, you know, a sense of what's going on with them to know how to interpret these.
Yeah.
It's all important.
Okay, so let's move from thyroid for a second. What is the other and by the way, just for those of you who don't understand why thyroid hormone allows you to get leaner, because we know what mitochondrial uncoupling is, because a lot of people back in the day in the bodybuilding industry fooled around with something called DNP, and some people died because it cooked you from the inside out. DNP causes mitochondrial uncoupling, which means that the mitochondria works a lot harder to produce the same amount of energy, which means you become very, very hot and sweaty. Well, thyroid hormone works through mitochondrial uncoupling. It's a natural mitochondrial uncoupler, but the body likes it better than foreign agents like cleaning solutions. And if you are taking thyroid hormone, you should be taking antioxidants, but that's another show. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, fair enough. And again, if you are, you know, one of the signs we have of having too much thyroid, that's why sweating is one of those. Because your body's trying to get rid of that excess heat that you're generating, is one of the interpretations. On top of the thyroid, as I mentioned, the lipids is an important thing, I think, to check for people. Why? Because, out of three guys who die today, two of them is going to be from heart disease. The lipids are a major factor that determine not just what kind of plaque you're making, but how stable is that plaque and how well protected is it from your platelets. Because it's not how much plaque you make. That may determine things like angina, if you got a blockage in a coronary artery. But what determines whether you're going to have an event, an MI, a stroke, is do you get a rupture in that plaque that your platelets see and form a clot? And it's the clot that killed you, not the cholesterol. And that has to do with, as you, one of your, again, favorite buzzwords and a good one, is inflammation. And really, the way that we interpret it here is that one of the most important factors with your cholesterol is to look at the ratio between your triglycerides and your HDL cholesterol. That ratio tells you a lot about your glucose status and your insulin sensitivity. And the higher that ratio, when your triglycerides go up, your HDL goes down, you're generally more inflamed. And the more inflamed you are, the greater your chance you have of having an event.
What do you think the minimum requisite inflammatory markers that should be looked at?
We always check a high sensitivity CRP. We will look at, an advanced lipid testing has come a long way, and it's a lot more accessible for patients. And also physicians are starting to understand it too. But that one is, I think, a test that everyone should get, and people understand, I think, a lot better. Another one, it's not technically necessarily an inflammation marker, but it is a very much an independent risk factor for heart disease, is the homocysteine level.
Bingo.
And that's one that also gets left out of a lot of people's evaluation. But in essence, it tells you how efficient your system is at methylation, how well your B vitamin system is working. And when that number goes up, you're not going to clear stuff out. Now, that has nothing to do with cholesterol and plaque. Yet we know that that number goes up, your risk of having a heart attack goes way up.
And guess what will reduce homocysteine production? Not B vitamins, something most people don't think about.
Go ahead.
Creatine.
I'm learning too.
Creatine. Because homocysteine is an amino acid that is spun off when the body makes its own creatine. So if you supplement with creatine and the body doesn't have to make it,
keep it down.
Yeah, the homocysteine is not even produced in the first place.
Right. So. I won't call it a marker, but another thing that's, I think, important to check that is related to inflammation is estradiol levels. Estradiol levels, you know, you don't want them, when they go too high, especially for guys who are trying to get their testosterone levels better by whatever means, if estrogen gets too high, certain problems happen. One is you start increasing your clotting factors in the liver, which increases your chance of blood clots, and that includes MI, strokes, but also DVTs, PEs, pulmonary emboli. But then that estrogen level is causes an inflammation that tends to cause the CRP, even the SED rate, which is another inflammation test you can order, to go up. And so that's another reason we try to make sure we keep estrogen levels in the normal range for people.
What about the interleukins? Isn't it IL-6 that's closely related to inflammation? And is that even a test that a doctor will pull for you typically?
Most people won't do that. And it's not that it couldn't be potentially helpful, but that, you know, most of those interleukins are very active on a very local level. Mm. They're released from places and they're going to work in a spot very quickly. So the level that it's going on in the blood may, you know, in other words, you could get that level and it could look fine in the blood, but that doesn't mean that IL-6 is not kicking your fanny
right.
at a place that it's already been released from, absorbed from, and is working. Those tend to be pretty local phenomena for those interleukins.
Okay.
But, yeah, there are people that can find those helpful.
Mm-hmm. But they're not a first line. They're not a first line choice.
Not a first line, not a place I would typically jump. And, again, you're going to be running into, you know, how does your doctor going to interpret this? Or what are you going to do with the answer? And that is an important thing that I think you should think about with any test you ever order for any reason. I'm going to get this. I'm asking a question. What am I going to do with the answer? And you want to know that before you check it.
Okay. We're going to take a quick commercial break to get back on the clock here. By the way, Dr. Matt Andrey will have his own show in June called The Health Whisperer. And we'll talk more about that after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
Previously on Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
So government mandates the use of this, and government says you should try that, but government doesn't do those things.
Listen weekdays at noon.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937. Or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Superhumans using Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder are experiencing dramatic improvements in strength, performance, recovery, and endurance. Benefits that cannot be duplicated by any other supplement. Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder will take your game to another level. If you already know how great Percova Extra Edge Colostrum is, you could purchase 4 jars of Extra Edge Colostrum Powder for $200. Use coupon code SHR2. See the Percova banner ad on superhumanradio.com today. It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling. Specifically designed to transform your physique and record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary add 1 inch to your upper arms in a single workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad. The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click
the Keto Force banner ad today.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Matt Andrew. We're talking about blood work. Just an FYI, if I sound a little winded when I come back from the breaks, Elisa and I got Fitbits. Matt.
Yeah.
And she texted me a little while ago and said she's already at 10,000 and I'm only at 7,000 and change. So I told her that I was going to be standing up during the show and walking in place and jumping up and down. She said that's cheating, but it's not cheating because if I'm expending energy, then I'm doing what the Fitbit intended me to do, right?
I think that's not cheating. But I think Elisa's going to win.
Yeah. She did like 16,000 steps yesterday. I was like, oh, come on. Show off. And that's like a regular day for her. You know what I mean? So anyway.
Yep.
So I am standing and I'm walking in place while I'm doing the show, believe it or not, right now.
You know, Carl, I'm going to tell you one thing too. I already get the sense we're talking about this panels of labs to get. I know at the end of it, I'm going to go, gosh, I didn't mention this one. I didn't mention this one. You know, I feel compelled to say that we're giving people very bare bones here. This is just the basics.
Yeah.
We could do probably a month of shows on this and not completely cover it.
Well, and that's why we're going to have the Health Whisperer, where Dr. Andre will answer your questions, and especially not just health in general, but Matt has a medical weight loss clinic, one of the most successful in the region, and so he can speak to weight loss as well. So it's going to be a great show, and we're going to kick that off in June. We got everything all ready to go.
I'm excited. It's going to be wonderful.
So, okay, so now let's talk about, we talked about inflammation. Should we move on to hormones, or we covered cholesterol and CBC, right?
Yeah, we did. We covered that. We covered general liver kidney function. We covered thyroid. I tell you that there's a family of lab tests and a region that I think is really important for people to understand. And if I had to pick just one area that has been maybe the most transformative for my practice, mm-hmm. in terms of understanding health, in terms of understanding weight especially, it's in glucose metabolism.
Yeah, you're right.
Glucose and insulin. And that's the place that I think some attention needs to be paid. And I think people need to know about the tests that they can get and what to do with them.
Okay.
The very basics are a fasting glucose. Your fasting glucose should not get over 100. If it gets over 100, it is a sign that your system is struggling with managing your glucose. Now, things temporarily can make it go up. You could go out and run and have a rough knee injury, and your cortisol could go up and raise your sugar. But assuming everything else is pretty normal for you, you want that blood sugar to be below 100. I usually love it below 90 for patients. The other test you really want to get is a glycohemoglobin, a hemoglobin A1C. And what that's the major test we use when we're sort of tracking people who have diabetes. But it's an important screening looking for signs, again, of blood sugar problems. And what that is that red blood cells can have glucose attached to them. Once that glucose attaches to that cell, it stays there for the life of the cell. And a certain percentage of your cells will have glucose on them, somewhere around, say, 5%. The higher your blood sugar goes, the more that percentage goes up. When that percentage becomes about 6%, then we start thinking diabetes. So I like to keep, again, when I'm optimizing and doing wellness for patients, I really want to see that A1C below 5 if I can get it there. Certainly not above 5.3, 5.5. When I start to see it go up from there, even though your doctor might look and say, hey, that's normal, I'm going to say, hey, we've got early signs of a problem.
Now, the only thing that I would say that I'd like to see more doctors add to this, and you do this for me, so I know you do it, and that is the, what do you call it, C-peptide, the actual insulin itself, right? Because looking at blood sugar, you can have somebody whose fasting glucose is adequate. even model, they're like 80, you know, and their A1C really isn't that bad. But
you have no idea how hard your pancreas
is working to keep it there. Exactly. And again, this is kind of like trying to determine how fast you're going by looking at the distance between the floorboard and the gas pedal. You don't know if you're going uphill or downhill. You don't know how fast you're going, and you don't know how hard you're having to work to keep that blood sugar in that range until you look at insulin and go, holy crap, this guy's pumping out gallons of insulin. We got to do something about him.
That's exactly right. And I would say when it comes to blood sugar management, and I talked about how important that's been in my practice, it's this element. It's the understanding how hard your pancreas has to work. How much insulin does it take to keep your sugar good? Because why? That's what we call insulin resistance. And, you know, insulin resistance in and of itself isn't a bad thing. You better have some of it if you're starving, if you're hibernating, if you're pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have too much of it, then you have to make so much insulin. And that high level of insulin has dramatic, very damaging effects on your health. And almost every system is negatively affected by that. But the opposite's true, too. If you can't make enough insulin, then, of course, you run problems because your sugar runs high.
Right.
So C-peptide is a good surrogate marker. It's when insulin's first made in the pancreas, it's made as proinsulin, and then it's cleaved apart. And one of those proteins that's part of that sort of package is C-peptide. And it's more stable than insulin levels. You can also look at insulin. But someone can have an insulin, and at any given point in time, it may look fine, especially if they're fasting. But that doesn't mean that the next day, the day after that, 2 hours after they eat, that those levels aren't above where they should be. C-peptide is a better measure for that.
Okay. So there you have blood sugar management. What's next, Matt?
Yep. Hormones, I think you're right, would be the next thing. Before we get there, I think we should, you know, probably mention a little bit about, as far as a, you know, screening test and blood work, PSA. I mean, this thing has taken a beating
right.
In the press. And one thing I want to say about that, you know, you hear people say all the time, PSA is worthless, or everyone should have a PSA. Neither of those are true. PSA is just a number. It's a measurement in your blood of the antigen that comes from prostate cells. And it can the thing to know about it is it can be a marker for prostate cancer in men. But if it's up, that doesn't mean you have prostate cancer. There's 100 other reasons at least why PSA can go up.
You know what one is that men need to know about right now?
Hit it.
If you have an orgasm the night before you go in and have your prostate exam done, your PSA levels will be ridiculously high. Because orgasm causes a minor trauma to the prostate every time it happens.
Yes, that's true. And a hard bowel movement can do it. you know, anything that can irritate the prostate, the rectal area, bike riders sometimes will have a higher chance of having that depending on how good the saddle is they're using. All those things can potentially affect it. But it's not a worthless test. The way I use it in my practice is it's something we track. We don't go, okay, well, your level's totally fine and we never have to look again, even though there was a study just released this week that suggested if you're under 60 and you have a PSA less than 1, you really don't need to use it as a screening test ever again. I don't know about that, but the point is that for populations, it's not a super strong screening tool. But it depends more on how you interpret one that's elevated. If we get a guy and he's got we've seen his prostate and it's doubled in the last year, then I would like to know, well, do I have an explanation for why that is? Has his hormone status changed? Because that can do it. If that has, that doesn't mean he's got cancer. Has he had a prostate infection? That's a very common reason for it to go up. Does that need to be treated or addressed? And then you just recheck it. So you want to have a physician who has a good relationship with, say, a urologist, or is good at managing this themselves, that can say, hey, you know, we're not just taking this result and then shipping you off to get cut on for a biopsy. We're going to interpret the test in light of where you're at otherwise health in terms of your health.
Yeah. And guess what? In an interview I did about 4 years ago, they discovered a prostate-specific antigen in cancerous breast tumors in women. So the fact that they originally found it in the prostate, it's not unique to the prostate. It's available in other tissue that's in trouble as well.
One of the worst things about medicine in general is that we get so pigeonholed by the way we name things.
Yeah.
If they had named growth hormone Fred instead of growth hormone, we wouldn't be having all the problems with people being worried about adults getting it.
That's so funny. That's so funny. That's true. Hey, my Fred is low. Oh, we'll get you a shot of Fred this afternoon. Don't worry about it.
That's the way that would be so much healthier.
Okay, so
think, oh, it's growth hormone. That's all it does.
I want to get into growth hormone in a second, but what about the other hormones, the other sex steroids? What are the important ones that both men and women should be looking at?
Sure. Well, I think, of course, free and total testosterone is very important. And it's important, it's even more important the older you get, because your total and free can vary even more as you get a little bit older, because your sex hormone binding globulin levels can change. Estradiol is very important to look at. There's debate about, you know, how helpful are the other estrogen species, the estrone and the estriol. How important are those to look in men? They're definitely important to look at in women and interpret them, but in men, they probably are. But I can't sit here and tell you exactly how they're important or why or
right.
The best things to do about them. I think the progesterone levels in women are certainly important in all those estrogen species. Testosterone levels are also very important to look at in women, as well as, again, the sex hormone binding globulin, because that's your train that's going to do the delivery of all those hormones to the target tissues. One thing that I think is really important to mention, too, people need to know that, and this is, it's not super new information. We've actually known it a while, but you can only find pockets. And this is one of those pieces of information that are slowly making it into mainstream medicine, but it's really been in the purview of good hormone docs and functional medicine people. And that is, if you're taking topical hormones of any type, the blood is not a very good place to track how well that's working for you. Why? Because all of those hormones, of course, they're very lipophilic. They like being in cells. They don't, this is a problem of oil and water. They don't sit in the blood very easily unless they're attached to a hormone. Well, when you put on 50 or 100 milligrams of testosterone on yourself topically, it never makes it to the venous blood. It gets carried around by other cells, by the lymphatic system. But this has been shown by doctors, David Zava, who does the salivary testing.
Right.
And so a lot of times guys on topical, their salivary levels will go through the roof, and it looks like their blood levels didn't move much at all. And this is true for progesterone, estrogen, and testosterone. So if you're on a topical, you can't just go, but you should consider not just going by blood. What do you go by? Well, the clinical picture is the most important thing. But you also need to think about getting either salivary or urinary testing.
Mm. You think urinary is the best of all?
You know, I won't say the best. I would say that it's a really good thing to do for management from a safety standpoint, because that's really the best place, I think, to see a lot of the metabolites.
Right.
And that is the thing, the breakdown products of hormones. You know, the body, it has different purposes for all of those things, and they all do something. But we think that we've got the whole picture if we just know the estradiol level, instead of knowing the 2-hydroxy versus the 16-hydroxyestrone. And that ratio has a lot to do with breast cancer risk. Also, it has a great deal to do with osteoporosis. The funny thing is, they're the opposite. The one that's good for your bones is bad for the breast.
That's funny.
So it's about balance. But I think that if someone is really interested in their hormones, they should see someone who knows how to use and interpret various modes of testing, not just blood. Blood spot can also be very good. But you're knowing how to use those, especially if you're a woman, getting someone who knows how to use urinary metabolites or at least salivary testing, I think, is important.
Now, real quick, should I care about DHEA levels and or pregnenolone levels, since pregnenolone seems to be the parent hormone of all of these?
Sure. I think that can be important. I mean, for me, pregnenolone has not turned out to be all that helpful clinically. I think there are clinicians that use it, interpret it, and they think about it probably, in all honesty, a broader way than I do, and that's great. But for me, it's almost that total cholesterol level that's better, because that is as big a precursor that comes even before the pregnenolone.
Right, you're right.
And, you know, and you've got to use that to make your cortisol too. So, to me, that is a similar marker. DHEA, you know, maybe 10% of the time, I've seen that be a really important and kind of a real game changer for patients. For a lot of times, since we end up managing the child hormones in themselves,
right,
DHEA itself has not always been so helpful. But sometimes it is.
I can see what you're saying, because if testosterone, estrogen, progesterone are doing what they need to do, then the assumption is that DHEA is there and doing some of that.
Or you converted it all to what you needed it for, and its individual functions themselves, even though there are receptors for it, are clinically not always as big a picture, or at least we don't know it yet.
Okay. I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk briefly about 25-hydroxy-D and also retinoic acid or retinol, vitamin A status as well, and how important they are. We're talking with Dr. Matt Andre. His website is Andre Medical Services. If you are living in and around the Bloomington, Illinois area, there is not a single better doctor that you can see who is intuitive, instinctive, and sensitive to every individual's needs. Matt does not sit down with you for the requisite 10 seconds, write a prescription, and walk out. He learns about you. He knows about you. He understands who you are, what makes you tick, and why you may be feeling the way you are. He has access to all of the pharmaceutical interventions, but he also is sensitive to more natural approaches to helping people as well. So his quiver is filled with everything that he needs to help you. Go to AndreMedicalServices.com today. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. It's interesting what we consider a reason to get angry.
He's a military strategist on health.
Merck, the pharmaceutical company, killed 55,000 people with Vioxx. They knew that it had a problem, and they sold it to people anyway, and 55,000 plus people died taking Vioxx.
He's Carl Lenore.
Why isn't this current administration going, we need to go to White House Station, New Jersey, where the Merck headquarters is, and send the military in there? We need to bomb Merck, because they killed 55,000 Americans knowing that they were going to kill 55,000 Americans.
On Superhuman Radio.
Where is the outrage about that?
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
By now, everyone knows I'm a big proponent of dairy. But as we all know, not all dairy is created equal. Learn more about a form of dairy made available to us that is raw, organic, grass-fed, grass-finished, low-heat pasteurized, and cultured with probiotics. Without the offensive beta-casein protein believed to be 13 times more toxic than gluten. Check out superhumandairy.com to learn more, or go to superhumanradio.com and click the green-fed dairy banner ad today.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use AuraMD. AuraMD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carved your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com and enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
Train harder, train longer, recover faster, and elevate protein synthesis. It's finally here, Splice, with branched-chain amino acids, taurine, and trimethylglycine. You'll blast through your workouts without the need for stimulants, and the alpha-lactalbumin ensures your workouts will be the most productive because nothing accelerates muscle growth faster. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Predator Nutrition banner ad and use the coupon code SPLYCE10 to save 10% off today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Listen strong.
It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. I was just doing burpees and imaginary jump rope. I will catch Lisa Profumo. I'm working on it. I'm at 8,300 and something steps right now. So there you go. I love this thing. You know what? It gives you, it turns activity into a game. It's fantastic.
Yep. Fantastic. Love it. Like our numbers.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the vitamin D, and, you know, vitamin D has gotten a lot of publicity.
Yep.
It's still unclear what a lot of the information means, but what we can take away from it is that too many people are way low on D because of their fear of being in the sun. So yep. where do you like your clients to be in the range of D, and what is the test that has to be done?
Sure. Well, the test you want to get is a 25 hydroxy vitamin D total. That's the test you want to get. But any doctor who's doing that will kind of know that that's the level that they want to get, because there's other things that you can check. And like all, you know, hormones really, which vitamin D is a hormone, people should know that too. It's not just a quote vitamin. It has a pretty complex physiology. It uses the skin, uses the lung, uses the kidney, the gut, and all of those tissues have an impact on it. But I really like to see people's levels 60 or above, between say 60 and 100.
And that's measured in, is that measured in nanograms a liter? Is that what that is?
Per ml, nanograms per ml.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Milliliter.
There
you go. Now,
yep. And
good. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Go.
Yeah. So that, when I see levels that are really low, I mean, there's so many reasons, and you touched on them. One is that we just don't get sun exposure. And when people do go out there, either, you know, they're covered up from head to toe because they're worried about skin cancer, and that's leading to a lot of low vitamin D, which is kind of ironic because vitamin D is one of the most important factors for your immune health. And humans who get roughly 5 to 50,000 cancers every day need the immune system to take care of all those. So,
right.
Robin Peter to pay Paul there in a lot of ways. So that's where I like to see those levels. When they're low, definitely we look at getting people's levels higher. A couple other things that are really important there. One is, you know, you also absorb this from your food, not just from what you get, you know, the skin's conversion to active vitamin D. But if you don't have a healthy gut, and that can include everything from, say, an active Crohn's disease, or you had intestinal surgery or a gastric bypass, or you're just stressed out all the time and don't have enough parasympathetic blood flow to the gut, you have dysbiosis, you don't have the right probiotics, then you're not going to necessarily absorb your vitamin D from your food very well, mm-hmm. which also means you may not absorb it very well from the supplements that you're going to take.
Well, this is something that, you know, it's been right in front of my face, and I didn't think about it. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking, Elisa and I, and she said, well, with so many people being on a low-fat diet, they're not absorbing whatever vitamin D from their diet they get in the first place. And I thought, you're right.
Yep. That's soluble vitamin. That's right. And it's just flat and not in there as much. Same kind of principle. Another thing that is really important to mention, I do see a lot of people, and they can get some pretty kicking vitamin D levels. Now, above levels greater than 150, we start to think, yeah, that can kind of be toxic. But, you know, one of the vitamin D's jobs, and people do know about it, it's about your bones, and it's about calcium. And calcium, way back in the first test we talked about, that's a complete metabolic panel, you'll get a calcium level. And if calcium levels are going up, that can be a sign that's very related to vitamin D. I rarely see people get so much vitamin D that they raise their calcium a bunch, but your parathyroid hormone can be a problem. And hyperparathyroidism is actually quite common, a lot more common than we used to think. And it's one of those things that it depends what cutoff you use. If someone is a little bit hyperactive, they can be eroding their bones, and they may not necessarily meet all the criteria for having the disease. But we really like to keep an eye on vitamin D and on calcium levels it's not a screening test yet, but if someone has an issue there, a lot of times, especially with calcium, we will go ahead and check the parathyroid hormone level.
Well, and Dr. Chris Masterjohn came on the show and we talked about vitamin D, and he's doing some real cutting edge, very, very cerebral work on vitamin D. And he said, first of all, we only look at what we call the active form of vitamin D, but there's 1,000 times more of the inactive form of vitamin D. And while it doesn't have as much activity, when you multiply that by 1,000, it means something, number one.
Number two,
he says, looking at D levels without looking at parathyroid hormone is meaningless, he says. So you're right on it with that. Yeah, you're right.
I would agree with that. But no, vitamin D, I mean, getting your good replacement for that is appropriate. It does seem to take a good bit of time for it to make a change. I rarely see someone take it and they get their levels up in a week, you know.
Right.
It seems to take a bit of time for those changes to take as you're trying to get the gut better, healthier, and as you're also adding more vitamin D to your supplementation regimen.
Now, here's one that most people don't ask for, but I know it's important because stem cells are in your body not to be harvested by some physician at Harvard, put in a petri dish and then and reimplanted. They are the repair tools for your body, but stem cell differentiation requires active vitamin A, real vitamin A, not beta carotene.
Yep.
Vitamin A. Very few people check vitamin A. How is vitamin A measured? What should you ask your doctor for?
Well, you can check retinol levels, and that's what most of us will typically go by. And you're very right. And I'm going to be flat honest. You probably know more about vitamin A. You've probably forgotten more about vitamin A than I have used clinically in my experience. The other thing we know about it is a lot of people use it. It's important for cell turnover, period. So a common place people will have some exposure to this is, of course, when it comes to skin issues like acne. And a lot of those, retin A, that's what we're talking about. You know, this
right.
kind of thing, and it dries people out. Why? Because they're turning their skin over so fast that they can't make enough oil to keep that skin kind of moisturized. But vitamin A is important. Again, every cell has receptors for it. And it's important for management. And you mentioned the stem cells. So, yes, healing, your ability to recover from injury is dependent upon that. It is one that's probably a little easier to get toxic from than some others, especially if you don't have a really healthy liver. If you like your red wine, you know, really, really well, you don't want to overdo certain fat-soluble vitamins like vitamin A. But if you're low, it can have major impact on your ability to heal, repair, be that from injury on a macro level, falling and hurting yourself, or be it from a microvascular level and the damage we cause there.
So ask your doctor for a vitamin A test. How is it, I don't know if you said this already, and maybe I just blanked out. How is it measured? What are the ranges typically? Are there ranges?
The ranges on retinol. The ranges depend on the lab that you're
okay.
using.
Okay.
But I don't know. I can't tell you
off the top of
my head.
Okay. All right. So what have we missed anything here, Matt?
You know, those, I think, are the big ones. I think it is also important that people in general think about, again, if you don't get an answer that you believe, understand from your physician, it's very reasonable to go ask someone else. And only someone who's not very helpful for you is going to be really offended if you try to get information from other sources. And that's probably the most important thing to take away.
How frequently should people ask for these types of tests from their physician? Once a year?
Totally depends on the clinical circumstance. But these kind of tests, a general screening panel, once a year is typically going to be sufficient. But if you're intervening, then the type of intervention and what is going to determine how quickly you need to check up on it.
Okay. I guess we've covered everything that we can in this brief discussion. This was Blood Work 101. This is a starting
yep.
point. And I'm sure we'll cover more of this type of stuff on your show once we get it started next month.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. You got me blushing already talking about that.
There you go. It's going to be a great show. So the website is Andry, A-N-D-R-Y, Medical Services. If you're in and around the Bloomington area, if you can drive to Bloomington, Indiana, there is no single better doctor that you can see and entrust your health, longevity, and the health and longevity of your family to than Dr. Matt Andry. Matt, thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks a lot, Carl.
Talk to you soon, brother.
Yep. Thank you.
All right, so stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
There's something comforting about knowing he's out there.
Government is in place because it assumes that people are too stupid to care for themselves.
By your side.
Government has to take up the parental role of teaching people what to do.
Fighting the good fight.
Government has to get out of people's pantries, first of all. They can't legislate health.
He's Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, leave.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carve your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com. Enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Labs is among the fastest growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com today. Scientists around the world confirm the vital importance of redox signaling to cell health. ASEA is the first and only stable, perfectly balanced mixture of these redox signaling reactive molecules that exist outside of living cells and can be used to help maintain proper balance inside the body to support the immune system, recovery, and the healing process. To learn more about ASEA and what it can do for you, go to superhumanradio.com and click the ASEA banner ad today.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Livon Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Yeah! Throw your hands in the air right now, man.
That's Professor Axel.
Don't crack the dawn.
Professor Axel.
Squad.
Welcome back. Do you have sales experience, especially in the advertising area? The Superhuman Radio Network is missing one critical team player. That is someone to handle selling advertising. It's fun. It pays well. You work from home. If you are interested, please send a resume to onair@superhumanradio.com. I tell you right now, you can make $100,000 a year sitting at home and working from home. And that's not BS. The show is a proven, has a proven track record and lots of happy advertisers. So check that out. We got a great group of shows tomorrow. Tomorrow we have part two of the three-part series on nutritional deficiencies and what you can do about them with the brilliant Adele Moussa. And during the first hour, we have GRB10 promotes lipolysis and thermogenesis. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. So hope you'll tune in. Thank you for listening. And we will see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.